Because what really stands in the fires of time and all scrutiny is the truth of God's word. And so, Spirit of the Living God, we ask now that you would apply it and train us, that you would be the filter of what we receive, what we place in these holy temples, because it is your dwelling place, that the Shekinah, the Shekinah glory, shall not depart from our own individual temples, as Yeshua is highly lifted up, both in the presence of us being together, multiple temples of the Most High God, and also as we are living separately from one another. To your name be all praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today's message is entitled, Yeshua's She'ilah on the Mashiach. More English, Yeshua's She'ilah or question on the Messiah. Turn with me now to Matthew 22, 41 through 46. And some of you may be thinking, well, that's a funny title. Is he not the Messiah and the Mashiach? Why would he have to put any question to anyone about that? But here we see how Yeshua, he brings people and he asks them to think. He asks them to look beyond their traditions. He asks them to apply the word of God to their hearts and allow the Spirit of the Living God to impress the will of the Father upon them. Matthew 22, verse 41. Then turning to the assembled Perishim, who are the Pharisees, Yeshua put a She'ilah to them, a question. Tell me your view concerning the Messiah. Whose son is he? They said to Yeshua, David's. Then how is it that Yeshua asked them that David, inspired by the Ruach HaKodesh, who is the Spirit of the Living God, calls him Messiah, Adonai, Lord? When he says, Adonai said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David calls him Adonai, Lord, how is he, Mashiach, the Messiah, his son? No one could think of anything to say in reply from that day on. No one dared put another She'ilah to Yeshua. So here, She'ilah, it is a question about Torah, a halakha, usually posed to someone expected to give an authoritative answer. Okay? So here's what Yeshua lays before them. Now, Yeshua is not quoting Matthew chapter 22 here to them, but he's quoting what? Psalm 110. And this is what it says here. A psalm of Malachim, which means king, David. Adonai says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Adonai will send you your powerful scepter out of Zion, which is Zion, so that you will rule over your enemies all around you. And on that day, your people, your forces will mobilize. They will be willingly offer themselves in holy splendors from the womb of the dawn of early morning. The dew of your youth is yours. Adonai has sworn it, and he will never retract. You are chosen Cohen forever to be compared with Melchizedek. Adonai at your right hand will shatter the kings on the day of his anger. He, Adonai, will pass judgment among the nations, filling it with dead bodies. He will scatter heads throughout the extensive territory. He will drink from the stream as he goes on his way. So I want to read this one more time to you, but I'm going to fill in some blanks here so that we'll have more understanding. Because from the Pharisees' standpoint, they began to understand, as Yeshua was quoting this to them, a little more clear what he was stating here. So let us begin again. Psalm 110, 1 through 7. Adonai says to my Lord. Now Adonai is Abba, Father, God. He says to my Lord. And in this portion here, the second Lord is the Mashiach or the Messiah. Sit at my right hand. Where is the right hand? The place of authority. and until I make your enemies your footstool. What is that? The will of the Father making all the enemies of the Messiah into his footstool. For them to be the footstool, what do they have to be? They have to be fully submitted. Are they alive? No, they're dead. Continuing here. Adonai will send your powerful scepter. What is the scepter? It is a symbol of power and authority. Out of Zion, which is Zion, the capital city of Israel, Jerusalem. What has the current administration has decided to do right now? But to recognize Jerusalem, as the capital city of Israel. Continuing here. Adonai will send your powerful scepter, a symbol of power and authority, out of Zion, the capital city of Jerusalem, so that you, Mashiach, will rule over your enemies all around you. What's going to be happening in the millennial reign of Messiah? He shall descend upon the Mount of Olives, it shall be split in two. He shall walk through the golden gate, which has been sealed for thousands of years. He will walk upon the Temple Mount and then announce him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the earth. And what does it say? It says this, that if the nations round about will not bring him their first fruits of the harvest, of the spring harvest, then he will not allow there to be rain to go towards their land, that there will be famine in their land. For when Yeshua returns, he's not coming as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but he's returning as whom? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. So continuing here. And on that day, your Mashiach's forces will mobilize. That is his people. It says this in the latter days, that the Jewish men shall all be as David. There will be not one feeble among them. And they'll be walking mightily in the power of God. Continuing here. Willing to offer themselves in holy splendors from the womb of the dawn. What is the womb of the dawn? But early morning. When the sun rises, they're waiting for the Mashiach, the Messiah, Israel's king, to give them the orders. The dew of your youth is yours. What does that mean? That even the old feeble man at that time will have be renewed in his heart, mind, and soul from the days of his youth. He will gain back his strength. Verse 4, Adonai has sworn it. Who has sworn it? But Abba, Father God. Okay, continuing here. He, Adonai, will never retract. God, Abba, Father, is not a liar. You, Mashiach, are a Kohen forever. What does that mean? He's a priest. But wait a second, Rabbi. Is not Yeshua from the tribe of Judah? Absolutely. So how could he be a Kohen forever? It explains in the next verse here. To be compared with Melchizedek. Who is that? The one who appeared before Father Abraham. After he gained victory over those kings. And who met him there but this one, the high priest of Salem, which later became what? Jerusalem. It says of him that he had no father, no mother. He had no beginning nor end, all right? And so when Melchizedek came before Abraham, Abraham offered tithes to him. And who was living within Abraham's loin, but his own son Levi, who was to be what? The Kohen, the eternal priest's line upon this earth. But here we see, as Brother Tim shared earlier today, that Yeshua came to ratify a brand new covenant, which is the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant. And every covenant is established by what? By the shedding of blood. So here our eternal high priest, who is Yeshua, our Kohen forever, he sheds his own blood on our behalf. So continue here. Verse 5. Adonai at your right hand will shatter the kings on the day of his anger. Whose will is this done? It's done by Abba, Father God. Continuing here. Verse 6. He, Adonai, Mashiach, will pass judgment among the nations. When Yeshua ascends upon the Mount of Olives and sets up his throne from the Temple Mount, he will judge the nations of the earth, okay? Filling it with dead bodies, anyone who goes in rebellion against him, he will have them put to death. He is Mashiach, and he will shatter heads. throughout an extensive territory. He, Mashiach, Messiah, will drink from a stream as he, Messiah, goes on his way. No one will oppose him and call him into account. Why? Because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Therefore, he, Mashiach, will hold his head high. Mashiach, Messiah, will be Malakim, which is king, king over all the earth, ruling from his capital city of Israel in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And so here's a little commentary by Dr. David Stern. Of all Tehillim, which is Psalms, Psalm 110 is messianic and is quoted in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, many than any other passage of the Tanakh. It is found in Matthew 26, 64, Mark 12, 36, Luke 20, 42, Acts 2, 34 through 35, 1 Corinthians 15, 25, Ephesians 1, 20, Colossians 3, 1, Messianic Jews or Hebrews 1, 3, verse 13, chapter 5, verse 6, chapter through 10, chapter 6 through 20, 7, 17, and verse 21, 8, 1, 10, 12, 12, 2, and 1 Kepha, Peter, 1 Peter 3, 22. So here now we have the words now from Yohanan, who is another good news writer. And this is what he says. And this is what is playing in the hearts and the minds of these Pharisees. In the beginning was the Word. Who was the Word? It was Yeshua. And the Word was God. And the Word was God. He, Yeshua, was with God in the beginning. And all things came in from him, Yeshua. Without him, Yeshua, nothing made had being. In him, Yeshua was life, and the life of the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not suppressed it. And from this affirmation about the eternal word of Abba, Father God, the greatest of all themes is found in Yohanan 1, 14, where it says, the word Yeshua became a human being and lived with us. And we saw Yeshua's Shekinah, which is his glory, and the Shekinah of Abba, Father God, his only son, Yeshua, full of grace and truth. The good news of Yohanan presents Yeshua the Messiah to us as this divine person. The greatest proposition ever made is this, that the second person of the divine Godhead, who is the son of Abba, Father God, has become a human being. And he walked among his people, that Yeshua has revealed himself to his people as being full of grace and mercy and glory, and has lived with the people as to enable them to report to the world that they have beheld his what? His glory, his Shekinah, as for the only son of Abba, Father God. What a great thing to propose to the world, that the son of Abba, Father God, in a certain point in time, has become a human being just like you and I, that Yeshua has lived in the midst of sinful humanity, and that Yeshua has revealed that the grace of Abba, Father God, toward those who believe on him. And that's what Yeshua is doing now when he's placing this she'ilah, this question before the Pharisees. Can there be a greater thing to consider than that? Since this is a proposition that is true, then the great hope that has been introduced to this dark and fallen world. And since it is true that people such as you and me, broken and wounded as we are by sin, can be forgiven, washed clean, and restored to relationship with the one who made us all for himself. For it was Abba, Father God's great pleasure to create you in his image and his likeness. It was an act of love in the essence of you being created. Think about that when the enemy comes against you and places condemnation upon your heart. Your loving Father has made provision in that he had his son, his only son, your elder brother, lay down his life on your behalf. So continuing here. Can there be a greater thing to consider than that? Since this proposition is true, then the great hope has been introduced into this dark and fallen world. And since it is true, there isn't anything else that matters by comparison. Since the great theme is true, then the greatest She'ilah question can be possibly asked. The one She'ilah question that most reveals what is in a person's heart, that most determines one's eternal destiny, would have to be this. What do you think about Messiah Yeshua? And that's what Yeshua is basically asking these Pharisees. But he wants them to look at the scriptures. And that's why he quoted to them Psalm 110, verse 1. So continuing here. Earlier in the Good News, Matthias, who is Matthew, let us know that Yeshua himself asked this great She'ilah question once before. Yeshua was walking along with his Talmudim, his disciples, and suddenly he turned to them and then he asked. This is found in Matthew 16:13-17. When Yeshua came into the territory around Caesarea Philippi, he asked his Talmudim, "Who are the people saying that the Son of Man is?" The Talmudim said, "Well, some say Yohanan the Immerser. Others say Eliyahu. Still others say Yeremahu, who is Jeremiah, Eliyahu, Elisha, Yohanan, John, or just one of the prophets." But Yeshua asked them the greatest She'ilah question of all She'ilah questions, the She'ilah question that each man and woman need to answer. "But you," Yeshua said to them, "who do you think I am?" Now, the greatest She'ilah question is never really about what other people have to say about Yeshua. It's always personal. What do you say about Yeshua? Having heard the claims that are made about Yeshua, what conclusion have you come to about Yeshua? So you press in. "Well, he's a great teacher. Well, he was a great rabbi. He said a lot of great things." But you know, basically, as he got toward the end of his life here on earth, he became Meshuggah, all right? He said a lot of crazy things. And so you hear all these opinions. But what do you personally believe? All right? Verse 16. Shimon Kepha answered Simon Peter, "You are the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Shimon Bar Yohanan, "Simon, son of John," Yeshua said to him, "how blessed you are, for no human being has revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven." So now, as we examine our passage again, we find that Yeshua asks this great She'ilah question again, this time to his opponents, the Perishim, the Pharisees. They sought challenging She'ilahs towards him, questions. And when it was all over, Yeshua asked them the most challenging She'ilah of all She'ilahs, questions upon questions, that would expose their unbelief. And he says these words, "Tell me your view concerning the Messiah. Whose son is he?" Matthew 24:41, in detail. Then, turning to the assembled Perishim, the Pharisees, Yeshua put a She'ilah to them. "Tell me your view concerning Messiah. Whose son is he?" They said to him, "David's." "Then how is it that he asks them? David, inspired by the Spirit, calls him Lord when he says, 'Adonai said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" Tehillim, Psalm 110:1. "If thus David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" Have you ever thought of that? Continuing. "No one could think of anything to top and to say in reply. And from that day on, no one dared to put another She'ilah to him." What She'ilah question? Do you see how Yeshua now expands it? "What do you think about the Mashiach? Whose son is he?" When Yeshua didn't ask their opinion in a general way, Yeshua got specific and to the point. "Who do men say that I am?" Yeshua's question. was asked earlier. Now he's asking them specifically, who do you discern? By God's written word, taking all the holy prophets who are inspired by the Spirit of the living God, who do you say the Messiah is? And specifying the Shiloh question, in that way, put the Purshim, the Pharisees, on the horns of dilemma. Why? Because this is not in a separate room. Yeshua is still in the courts, and there are thousands that are hearing this conversation. If they speak what the Tanakh says about the Mashiach, the Messiah, then they correctly say that the Mashiach is a human son of the great King David. But they think of Mashiach, Messiah, only as nothing more than a man. They can't explain what Malachim, King David, in the inspiration of the Spirit of the living God, then went on to say about the Mashiach, the Messiah. If they wouldn't go on to say more about Messiah, so Yeshua's She'ilah question, preserved for us today in today's passage, forces us to do the same today as it did for them. It forces us to come to the crossroads of decisions about what we believe about Yeshua. It makes us answer the She'ilah question specifically. Tell me your view concerning the Messiah. Whose son is he? Now, to understand this She'ilah, we have to see and understand from the perspective of what? The Pharisees, the Purushim. So when Yeshua asked the Purushim about the Mashiach, the Messiah, they understood Yeshua to be asking them about the great expectation of the Messiah promised in the Tanakh. They would have understood Yeshua to be asking about the promised seed of the woman, the one Adonai had promised would one day come from Hava Eve and bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. Bereshit, Genesis 3:15. So these scriptures were playing on in the minds of the Pharisees. Also the promise to Abraham. Adonai told Abraham, in you, that is, from your descendants of your own body, one born from the Jewish people, all families of the earth shall be blessed. Bereshit, Genesis 12:3. Also what was playing through their mind was this. The promised prophet that Moshe spoke of when he said, Adonai your God shall rise up a prophet like me from among your brothers, and you shall hear him. Davarim, Deuteronomy 18:15. Also, they would have understood Yeshua as speaking of the child in the book of Yeshayahu, who is Isaiah 9:6. You're familiar with this one. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and dominion will rest upon his shoulders. And he will be given the name Peliyotz El Gibor, Avi Ad Shar Shalom, Wonder of Counselor, Mighty God, Father of all eternity, Prince of Peace. In order to extend the dominion and perpetuate the peace on the throne of David. Now those who believe in replacement theology, they don't read the latter part of this verse. So hear it. In order to extend and perpetuate the peace of the throne of David, the promises to King David, continuing, to secure and to sustain it through justice and righteousness, henceforth forever, the zeal of Adonai Zavaot, the Lord of hosts, will accomplish this. He will do it. He will bring it to pass. This is who they would have understood Yeshua's She'ilah to be in reference to. What do you think about the Mashiach, the Messiah? So you also have to be in the mindset of the Pharisees, the Purushim, in order to know that the second part of Yeshua's She'ilah, but whose son is he? And it was not a strange question. All of those who heard Yeshua's She'ilah would have immediately answered that it was obvious to them. He is Malachim, King David's son. They would have thought back to David, the greatest king of all of Israel, who all the kings are measured. They would have remembered the great promise Adonai had given to David, which is 2 Samuel 7:12 through 13. This is a promise spoken through the prophet, not Samuel, but Nathan. When your days come to an end and you sleep with your ancestors, I, Adonai, will establish one of your descendants to succeed you, One from your own flesh and blood, I will set up his rulership. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish his royal throne forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. If he does something wrong, I will punish him with a rod and with blows, just as everyone gets punished. Nevertheless, my grace will not leave him. As I took it away from Shaul, King Saul, whom I removed before you. Thus your house and your kingdom will be made forever before you. Your throne will be set up forever. Nathan told David all these words and described this entire vision to him. So did you notice that Yeshua didn't debate over their answer? That it simply was David's son? It was the right, in part, because in terms of his earthly lineage. That's what Yeshua was, the biological child of Malachim, King David. The very first verse in Matthew's Good News introduces this to us. In the very first verse, this is the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, Matthew 1:1. And that's why the book of Matthew is the very first book that's listed here, because it was the good news written to the Jewish people. But then Yeshua goes on to show that the answer alone was only half correct. A half correct answer to a most important She'ilah question of all is not an answer that will lead to salvation. We're not to come half-hearted to God, are we? Well, I think he might be the Messiah, but if someone else shows up, I want to be right in both cases. You can't do that. Either he is the Messiah or he's not. Matthew 22:43-44. Then how is it that Yeshua asks them that David, inspired by the Spirit of the living God, calls him Lord? Yeshua quotes from the very verse of Psalms 110. Adonai says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So Psalm 110 is very important. And it is the most quoted psalm in all the Brit Hadashah. And whenever in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, it is quoted, it always makes reference to one person, Yeshua, the Messiah. It was written by Malachim, King David, under inspiration of the Ruach HaKodesh. David looks ahead and expresses worship toward Adonai for the promise of Messiah that would be one day be born from him. Look now at the first verse. Do you notice that the first word Adonai or Lord is all in capital letters in most Bibles? This is that the translator's way of letting you know that in Hebrew, the most sacred name of God in all Hebrew scriptures is Adonai. Continuing here. And what are the holy Jewish scriptures? Bereshit, Genesis through Revelation. Continuing. It's a word that speaks of the covenant name of God, the God of Israel. Did you know the second word of Lord that's spelled capital L-O-R, small case O-R-D, is not equal in capital letters? This is speaking of the second Adonai, who is whom? But Yeshua. All the Pharisees here understand that this speaks both to David and to the Mashiach. But then Yeshua asks a very perplexing She'ilah question. If King David is here speaking of his promised son, whom we all know to be the Messiah, then how is it that David also in prayer before Adonai calls his own son Adonai? That doesn't make any sense. How is it that the Ruach HaKodesh, here that David refers to his promised son as his Lord? Whoever heard of such a thing? See, he's causing the Pharisees here to think. Because here is a messianic scripture where here we see Abba, Father God, we see King David a participant, and also we see Yeshua prior to him being born of the Virgin Miriam. And what is King David doing? But he's actually worshiping Abba, Father God. He's worshiping the second part of the Trinity, the Godhead, Yeshua. And he's giving praise and glory and honor to all. And at the same time, David fully realizes this. This is one that's going to be born from my own flesh in the future. The mystery is now being revealed. Everyone recognizes that a father is always to be recognized as superior to his own son. So everyone recognizes now the great King David as the greatest of all earthly kings of God's covenant people, Israel. So how can it be that in the power and inspiration of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God, that King David calls his own messianic son, Adonai Lord? Yeshua was presenting his opponents with a puzzle, but it wasn't intended to trap them or to confuse them, as they had been trying to do to Yeshua. Rather, it was intended to force these men to let go of their preconceived notions, their traditions about the Mashiach, the Messiah, and what it should ought to be, and to come to the conclusion about Yeshua that the holy Jewish scriptures proclaim, and Yeshua's own words required them to come to. So the question is, he asks them very clearly, so what is your conclusion that we must come to about Yeshua? And he steps back and he lets them play it in their heart. Because you know what's going to happen? In just a few days, he's going to be arrested and he's going to be brought before the high priest. And these same Pharisees are going to be there and they're going to be pronouncing judgment upon him. Right? And he's going to be taken away because they cannot have the power and authority to put him to death. So they have to go before Pontius Pilate, all right? And so he fulfills all the prophecies. He dies, and yet he raises from the dead. And so think about this. All these seeds of the good news, all these scriptures that Yeshua had planted on both the high priest's heart, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Torah teachers, and all the people that were assembled there in the courts, every word that he spoke was yes and amen, and they are true. For he is the I Am, that the Father is the exact representation of the Father to every tribe and people and nation. To his name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen.